seat. Thank you. Good morning. God bless. Certainly a great joy and privilege once again to be standing before such a magnificent group of folks. And my love and greetings to all those around the country and maybe around the world that get an opportunity to listen to these teachings, both online and by way of CD. And thanks to Yvonne McChesney, who so lovingly hosts our website and puts these teachings on online so you can hear them. Just click and listen. So it's a pretty neat thing. So thank you, Yvonne. And it is such a great joy, great privilege, and I'm very moved by stories such as these folks tell. God is just so much bigger than we are. Got all this stuff figured out. But yet he lets us know every now and then, and it seems like more frequently as time goes on, about his goodness and about his grace and about his mercy. This morning I'd like to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. I've entitled this teaching, I've got two titles for it actually. It's the way it goes when you're trying to get a title to a teaching. So I'll give this the main title and then I'll have a subtitle. So the main title is called No Going Back. The subtitle is called Love Warriors. That's us. There's no going back. No going back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labors, it's not in vain in the Lord." We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess the question then becomes is, what do we do with it? How do we put that out there into practice in a dynamic way so that it's having a positive effect on the world in which we live? We've got the victory, but and the battle's been won. Maybe you've heard this before, but there's a war raging on. The battle has been won. The enemy has been defeated. But there's a war that's still raging on today. We're the victors down here who now have the opportunity to go out on a horizontal level with something deep within with our hearts and our souls and our bodies, which is Christ. Christ. The world is our mission field. See? San Diego, Australia, Austria, Japan, Korea, it doesn't matter where you are. We're reaching out with the loving arms of Christ within us. That's what this is all about. See. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. And I may challenge you this morning in a good way. And how is that applicable in your life? What hearts, what lives, what changes, what legacy are you leaving behind? What kind of influence are you having? Ephesians 4:8 says, "Wherefore he ascended, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led," what? "Captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." He let captivity captive. And you know what happened? There was a byproduct of that. There was a benefit that came to us as a result of Jesus Christ leading captivity captive. We just watched Hancock. Kind of a goofy movie, but there's a lot of movies out there that are about these men and women who have great power. I mean, Will Smith is the main character in this movie, and he jumps in front of a roaring freight train, and the train just collapses, and he's just standing right there, and the train just, like, derails and everything right behind him. Superhero, right? He's a superhero. People love that sort of imagery that it brings, that there's somebody, you know, Batman, Spider-Man, some kind of man that can have these, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, heroes, you fill in the blank. That somebody somewhere could have this kind of power that could be life-changing. Let's see. You know, when Jesus Christ led captivity captive, when he gave us the victory, he made us superheroes. He made us more than conquerors. He made us able to now walk in the realm of the miraculous. See, there's no going back, guys. There's no even looking behind. We are moving on. We're moving forward. See. Maybe you've seen this one before, Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37 says, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See? More than conquerors through him that loved us. And it gives this list just preceding this in the context about there is not anything that's going to be able to stop us from having that kind of attitude, that kind of heart. In the Aramaic Peshitta translation, it says, on the contrary, in all these things we are victorious by way of him who loved us. In all of these things, well, what things is it talking about? Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. On the contrary, au contraire, in all these things we are victorious by way of him who loved us. We can stand in the middle of the whatever because of what Christ has done for us and in us. Christ has done in us. See? You know what, folks? We're infiltrating into enemy territory. We're going into the arena out there that really right at this point in time doesn't belong to us, does it? You know, in 2 Corinthians, actually, it talks about how there is a God of this world, right? See, we're moving, you know, wisely and courageously in this world with a great link. God Almighty. Jesus Christ did what it took to reestablish that relationship so that now we can hear directly from God. See, in any given situation. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly, every category. I'm sorry, it's kind of neat. You know, our neighbor across the street where we live, her name is Zoe. And every time I hear that name or think about her, I see her, I just think about this verse. Because that's the word in here that's used for life. It's a Greek word, Zoe, Z-O-E. And what it means is life in all its fullness, all of its manifestation, every category. Jesus Christ came to give us life, not just eternal life, life in every category. Full, rich, deep, meaningful, purposeful life. See. But the thief, still kill and destroy. See? And remember those verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. We'll read this from the Aramaic again. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, says, because of this, we are not weary in this ministry that we are holding according to the mercies that are on us. But we have rejected the hidden things of shame, and we do not walk with cunning, nor are we deceitful with the word of God, but we show ourselves by the evidence of the truth to all the minds of men before God. Now, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, so that they would not believe, in order that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God, should not dawn on them. Enemy territory out there, guys. See, I'm sure Tim and others of you who have been in combat situations or in military operations maybe could give a firsthand experience about what it's like going into enemy territory. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to intimidate us. Nothing's going to make us afraid. Nothing's going to freak us out. Nothing's going to make us anxious, worried, doubtful. Why? Because we have the confidence that God's Word is just not a book about the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's not just a book about the truth. It is the truth. It's not about the truth. It is the truth. See? And our lives are based on what God says is true. 1 Peter chapter 5. And at verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Ooh! Lions growl and make all this horrible noise so that they paralyze their prey. And then they can pounce on them, right? We're lion slayers. Nothing to be afraid of. The work of God in Christ, in us, is far greater than anything the enemy could ever present to be true. You know, Jesus Christ used to walk into environments and devil spirits would just speak up. He didn't even have to like go through this whole process of, what's your name? And he walked in and they would say, what do we have to do with you, Jesus? Son of the Most High God. You know, his confidence level was up there. See? That Christ lives in you. That Christ lives in me. We bring hope, power, deliverance, healing, wholeness every place we go. Philip's translation says, so humble yourselves under God's strong hand, and in his own good time he will lift you up. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Be self-controlled and vigilant always, for your enemy the devil is always about, prowling like a lion roaring for its prey. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, remember that the strain is the same for all your fellow Christians in other parts of the world. Kind of like, what are you saying? At one point in time, he felt like he was the only one. Then it must have been such a blessing to find somebody else. We're not going through this alone. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we did a fairly extensive teaching seminar on this particular section of the Word. Ephesians chapter 6. Start in verse 10. Where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methodology of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It may look like it. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all," what?
Stand.
Stand. The Phillips translation says, in conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord, in the power of His boundless resource. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against this unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power, and then even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground.
Wow.
And it goes on to talk about the armaments and the offensive and defensive weapons that have been given to each and every person as a result of Christ's finished work. In Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. This Word of God we have. Don't know a lot. Don't need a lot. Doesn't matter. Still God's Word. Still God's Word. You don't have to have graduated from any type of training program, missionary program, classes, seminar. You know what? I don't read that in here. It says just believe the Word. Walk simply. Exercise the spiritual authority and power that you've been given. See. I'm going to give you a little quiz here this morning. Not on what I just shared. On something else. And we won't take answers, but just think about this in your mind. I'd like for you to name the five wealthiest people in the world. Maybe you can think of one. Everybody thinks of Bill Gates, right? How about all five? But we're not done yet. Name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Well, name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. How about naming 10 people who have won the Nobel or the Pulitzer Prize? Name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor and Actresses. And then finally, name the last 10 years' worth of World Series winners. Duh. Ain't gonna happen, you know what I mean? You lost me at one. The point is, none of us remember the headliners of yesterday. These are the best in their field. These are the pinnacle of success. But you know what? The applause dies. The awards, they tarnish. Achievements are forgotten. Accolades and certificates, they're buried with their owners. Now here's part two of the quiz. List a few teachers who aided your journey through school. Name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name three people who have taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and special. Think of three people you enjoy spending time with. And finally, name a half a dozen heroes whose stories have inspired you. A little easier, huh? You know, the people who make a difference in our lives are not the ones with the most credentials, the most money, or the most awards. Those people who make the greatest amount of difference in our lives are the ones who care. That's what touched your heart when you first came to know about our loving God. Either someone or something touched you in such a way that you understood, somebody cares about me. Somebody really cares about me. And so, you know, as we take on this subject of not looking back, well, then that would require us to then look forward. I believe in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it talks about something like that, remember? Forgetting the past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's actually Philippians 3, 13 and 14. We don't look back. The past drags us. Before we came to know God, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, got born again of His Spirit, filled with the power of the Spirit, and were able to speak in tongues and manifest the other manifestations of the Spirit, you know what? There's nothing really to remember that's worth a hoot. And we don't look back and base what has occurred back there with what is now going to happen from this point forward. Remember those people that changed your lives? They were the ones who really cared about you, who really showed an interest in you. And you know, maybe you've heard this statement before. You know, most people don't read the Bible. They read you. They know you. And many people want to know, rather than all this existential, intellectual knowledge that you know, they want to know that you care about them. That you're willing to love them. And I can only think of there are many probably, but one great example, and that's Jesus Christ. The same Christ who lives within us. You know what? He didn't have a problem reaching out to one person, did he? No. No. You don't think Jesus was a man of vision? You think he saw his life and the desires and purposes that God was calling him to? Yeah, I think he did. But he had to work with his mind. He was a man, right? Didn't have a perfect mind and, oh, you know, I never have a thought that's... No, Colossians, let's look at that one. Colossians 1:26. What a great subject. Talking about our vision for our own lives. Where do you see your life next year? Next year after that? 5 years from now? Where do you think? What are you looking for? Retirement? So you can actually get up one day and not do anything or something? Oh, I just want to sleep in every day. Well, you know what? There's people out here that aren't retired doing that. See? And that's going to get old, you know, after about a week or whatever, 2 weeks. It's like, you know, trying to find something to do. Colossians 1, There was a great thing that unveiled itself on the day of Pentecost, and then the revelation was given at some future point in time about what that was. Verse 26 said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, it's now made manifest to the saints. It's evidence whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The nature of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, has been reproduced in every member that confesses Jesus Christ is Lord and believes God raised him from the dead. You know what? The devil never knew that. He would much rather have had one guy alive than a lot of Christs, a lot of reproductions of the Spirit of God, the divine nature, and individual peoples who now collectively make up the body of Christ. We're the reproduction of Christ. We are fully identified in all that he has accomplished. We can walk in the steps of the Master, looking to God to fulfill his purposes here on earth. You know what? Many are stated in the written word. But you know, we're going to need to hear from heaven to practically carry out our heavenly chores. And that means we're going to need to be looking to God and asking God and also listening. I mean, I think God really tried to get it across there in the manifestations where he said, hey, slow down a little bit. You know, don't get so antsy about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Slow down. Take a moment. And that's one great lesson for us in terms of being able to live and to walk and to listen to God. What his purpose and direction was. Oh, we got great ideas of what we want to do and how we want to do it. So take a moment, take a deep breath, and, you know, settle. Talk to God about it. We need to hear from heaven to accomplish that which God desires. We'll look in Proverbs chapter 29. Psalms 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 18. 29:18. Says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, he's happy. But there's no vision, the people perish. You know, the word perish means you're naked. It means you're unclothed, you're nude. Well, there's no vision. It's like you walking around with your clothes off and everybody else has got theirs on. You don't exactly blend in. You know what I mean? You know what vision is talking about? Hearing from heaven. Where there is no revelation being given, it's like walking around with your clothes off. We need it to survive. That's how personal and individualized this walk with God is in the manifestations of the Spirit. Is that we need the revelation that God is giving to us to practically carry out his word on a horizontal basis. Another translation could be where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, the people are discouraged or literally are made naked or cast off their clothes. That's how big a deal that really is for us to have access, slow down, be quiet, listen to God. He wants to talk to you. See, you quit doing all the talking. Let God talk. See? You know, the guidance and direction and purposes of God are so individually unique, yet they're bound together so beautifully with Christ as the head of the body. As we walk, we talk, we share the gospel, the good news of God's goodness and healing power, we too begin to exemplify the full and complete wholeness of His completed work. You know what we are to the world? Christ. Christ. We go out into enemy territory with as love warriors. See? With the nature of God in Christ within us, we go out and we love people. And I've asked Fred to play a song here that I really think is appropriate at this point for you to enjoy and get blessed with.
Well, he came home from work last night to find that she had gone. Now he's spending his first Sunday sitting in a pew alone.
Turn it up a little, Fred.
There are whispers all around him, and his heart breaks in two. He's wondering who's gonna reach out and help him make it through. Who will be Jesus to him? Who'll show the love that restores him? Well, he does not need a judge, no, he needs a friend who will be Jesus to him. She's got a reputation like the woman at the well, the only love she's ever known is the kind you buy and sell. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see Himself in me and you. Who will be Jesus to her? Who'll show the love that's commanded in His word? Will she see in us the mighty God we serve? Who will be Jesus to her? There's wounded people, they're everywhere. When they look at us, do they see Jesus there? Who will be Jesus to them? Who'll show the love that restores their world again? Well, they do not need a judge, no, they need a friend. Oh, yeah. Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus to them? Jesus to them.
Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've wrought in our hearts, the way you've worked so mightily, Father, to bring us to this point, and how humbled we are that we can walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, if anything in that's that this teaching is communicated, is that we have great love to share, And that we're never hesitant to reach out to those less fortunate, to those who are experiencing difficulties in their lives, Father, because these truly are the people who do need the light of your word and your love and your goodness. I pray, Father, that if we have put ourselves in position to judge, that you would forgive us, Father, for falling short of the high calling of what your word states. And from this point that we can just realign ourselves, walk forth lovingly and graciously, Father, listening to heavenly advice so that we can carry out those things and those purposes, Father, that you would have for us. So I pray, Father, that we can be men and women after your own heart, and that we can go out into this mission field of the world with renewed vision, renewed energy, and renewed commitment, Father, to love like this world has never loved before. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week.